Chapter number 3, Habakkuk chapter number 3. We're going to have just a few more weeks inside the book of Habakkuk, and then we'll start another book here sometime in the near future, probably after our missions conference that's coming up February 17th through the 21st. So looking forward to that. Please mark your calendars for that. Habakkuk chapter number 3. We're going to look at verses 3 through 16. We began this a number of months ago, looking at this and explaining this as a conversation between Habakkuk and God. And we've gone over this introduction a couple different times. Just as a reminder, we'll bring us up to this spot here. Habakkuk goes to God and says, Lord, I'm surrounded by wickedness. Why are you not listening? Why are you not hearing? Why are you not doing something? God responds in a way that he is doing something. He's saying he's bringing the Babylonians, the Chaldeans down. They're going to destroy Judah and take them into captivity. Habakkuk does not like that answer, and he responds back to that. And then Habakkuk gets to the spot. He says, look, I know you're God. I'm just going to go up to my tower, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to wait for the answer. God goes, and he begins to describe in chapter number 2. We looked at those 5 woes about the reason why God is going to punish Babylon also. Babylon was not going to get away with anything. And then we see in chapter number 3, verse number 1 and 2, we see the heart cry for revival from Habakkuk. We see things have changed. No longer is he trying to tell God what he thinks God should do. Instead, he is just praying and seeking God's face, asking God to remember mercy during a time of wrath. Verses 3 through 16 is it's a longer passage of Scripture than we normally do in 1 week. It's a Hebrew poem here. You'll see the word Selah a couple of different times inside this. And in verses 3 through 16, we're going to try to get all this in tonight. And the title of tonight's message is Remember Who God Is. Remember Who God Is. And when Habakkuk is writing this poem, once again, it is recorded in Scripture, so it's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But as Habakkuk is remembering who God is, he is seeing who God is. And he is, remember, at the doorstep. You know, the Babylonians and the Chaldeans, they were coming. God said it's going to happen and that there's nothing he can do. And can you imagine what's going through his mind and what's going through his heart? And he writes this poem. And I think it's this idea that, you know, when everything feels like it's falling apart, when everything feels like it's out of our control, we have something we can do. We can remember who God is. And as we remember who God is, he can give us that peace that passes all of understanding. And I think that this poem here just explains, and as Habakkuk's remembering what God has done, and as you look through this, you'll see through the reading that talking about when God was out on Mount Sinai, and also when he parted the Red Sea, and when he had the sun stand still. He remembers these things, and then in the end, you'll see his response. Let's look here in Habakkuk chapter number 3. I'm going to go all the way down verses 3 through 16 as we look at the sermon. Remember who God is. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Now, that word Selah means stop. Think about this. Stop. Listen. Think. You know, you're, so he is in this poetry. And once again, this poetry could, back in Bible times, could be put to music. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hands, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan and affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up the hands, his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Verse 13, you see the little bit more of a personal response to his consideration and meditation of who God is. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Thou didst strike through with the staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, though the heap of great waters. This is the verse I was referencing earlier. Excuse me. Verse 16. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I may rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Let's have a word of prayer quickly and just ask the Lord's help once again tonight. Lord, as I said earlier, we are in need of your help. Lord, in this passage of scripture, we need to understand what you're trying to say here. And Lord, an important truth here that we can learn and we can dig out of this. And I pray you just give us clarity of thought. And Lord, you give me the words you once said and help us to understand that as we remember and meditate on you and your faithfulness and your majesty, and Lord, and your might and your mercy, help us to understand that we can have peace even when the trials come. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, once again, we come to this spot. We remember where we're at. Habakkuk the prophet. Chaldeans are coming. The Babylonians are coming. He's overwhelmed. You know, if we knew that God had pronounced judgment, and I believe judgment is something that, as we learn about the Babylonians and the nation of Judah, you know what? God will judge sin, and someday God's going to judge America. We saw some of those woes that were the problems of the Babylonians, or some of the exact same things that we struggle with as Americans. We saw some of the sins of the nation of Jerusalem and Judah, and that exact same sins we're struggling with today. But when things seem like they have come to a spot where we can do nothing, that's when God comes in and helps. God's willing to help us at all times. But at this moment in time, we think about it. You ever been in a room when the doctor comes and says, look, there's nothing we can do to help them. There's nothing you can do. It's all left up to God. You go to a situation and you try to help somebody. It doesn't seem like anybody wants to cooperate. It seems like everything is going the wrong way. You know what? We get perplexed in our thoughts. What should we do when those things happen? And I think it's these times when God brings us these situations to help us remember we must wait on God and remember who God is. I love the first two words in verse number 3. He says, God came. Now, when there was no answer, when there's no solution, the Lord comes down and meets our personal needs. The Lord comes to us. He has already made that way. He comes. He promises that he will come. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will always give us a way of escape. And sometimes it's just going through the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Sometimes it is facing death, as we learned about last week with Stephen. But there's moments and times in our lives when we are completely out of control, and what we must remember to do is just remember God's in control. And I think in this passage of scripture, and we're not going to go through and try to break apart every single phrase, every single verse. Be honest with you, I don't get it all. I've read a lot of commentaries, and I see where they made some reaches, and you know, but inside this story, and inside this poem, Habakkuk is telling us and teaching us, hey, look, as I was thinking about God, there were some things I remembered about God. And as I remembered these things about God, it came to the spot where I began to tremble, where my lips began to quiver. And when I finally saw and got a good picture and a good understanding who God was, then I knew everything was going to be okay. God had to teach me this so when the Babylonians came and when the Chaldeans came, I could be ready for it. And sometimes God brings us to these spots to help us and remind us to where the only thing we can do is that we must rest, we must depend, and we must trust in God. So when the hard times come, then we will also have peace. See, the devil tries to tell us that we can control things. The devil will try to tell us that we are need to be control things. Habakkuk just thought about God. Look once again what it says in verse number 16. He says, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. I think that's referring to the fact he felt like he had no power. He had to just fall on his face. He had to fall on his knees. I trembled in myself. This happened as he thought about God. This happened as he had that proper respect of God. This happened as he had a fear of God. As we learned about last week, the beginning of revival becomes when we hear the speech and we're afraid and we have the fear of God. Because in the world we live in today, there is no fear of God before their eyes in many places. Habakkuk finally understood this. He went from a man trying to tell God what he thought he should do to a man now that's falling in his face and saying, hey, as I think about you, as I remember you, as I understand who you are, I can do nothing but quiver. I can do nothing but say, Lord, you're in control. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know what? He came in chapter number 1 questioning God, asking God, how could you do this? And God says, the just shall walk by his faith in chapter 2. Here, he sees this, he understands this, and he comes to this point when he's hearing the hooves of the Babylonian Empire coming. He comes to this point and he says, you know what? I need encouragement. I need someone who's going to help me. I need someone who's going to see me through this perplexing consequences, be through this perplexing situation. I need to get a good picture and a good understanding of what's going on, because if not, I'm going to be driven crazy. And he comes to the spot, he remembers who God is. This is what I'm trying to help us with. When life is out of hand and we are sorely disappointed, never dreaming things would turn out this way, it's in these moments we should realize that God never changes and he is the same God that he was back then. And that's what Habakkuk is looking at. He's remembering. He goes back in these verses and we're going to look at it in a second. He remembers when God was out on Mount Sinai. Now, different commentaries feel different ways. Some people said they see the stories of Abraham and Moses and Joshua in here. I really just see Moses and Joshua, but I'm not going to argue with you about what you see in the poetry and the poem things. I'm not the smartest when it comes to poetry. It's just not my cup of tea, but this is the Word of God, so we should try to dig into this a little bit and see here why Habakkuk says, these are the things I remember. These are the things I understood. And I was sitting in my chair in my back office in my study yesterday, and I was pondering these things, and I was thinking, God, I'm over here, and I'm worried about this, and I'm worried about this, and I'm worried about that. And over here, Habakkuk's remembering that God parted the Red Sea. Habakkuk's remembering when God told the sun to stand still. Habakkuk's remembering when Mount Sinai came down and the glory of God filled that area. And you know what? I'm worried about whether or not we're going to have enough money. I'm worried about somebody being sick. But it pales in comparison to what God can do. And that's what Habakkuk gets to. He says, I was coming to this spot. I had no clue. I was perplexed. I could not understand. I was overwhelmed. All I had to do is get back to who God was. And as I saw and understood who God was, then I was okay. Let's look here a little bit at this. The first point I want you to see here, and I believe these are found in the first verses, remember his majesty. We're talking about remember who God is, remember his majesty. Habakkuk spoke of God, the fear of the Lord. He pointed out to us this poem. It's God's majesty is in it. It's throughout the whole poem, but we're just going to look at the first verses 3-5 right here. There is not one like him. He is a God. He is a majestic God. It says in verse number 3, God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. And that's where I see the references that are coming out to Mount Sinai. His glory covered the heavens. It talks about the majesty there. And the earth was full of his praise. And we remember back then when God came to that mountain, he brought the nation of Israel to that mountain to teach him who God was. They had spent all that time in Egypt. They had seen all those hundreds of different gods. They were probably a little confused. And he brought them to that mountain, and at that mountain says, this is who I am, and these are my laws that I want you to follow, and if you follow these laws, I will give you this land that I've promised. And keep on going in verse number 4. And his brightness was as the light, and he had horns coming out of his hand. You say, what do you think that is? I think it's talking about the brightness of God's hands coming through him as we see the sun rays as they break through the sun. And it's the same thing, the light there. And there was and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and the burning coals went forth at his feet. You know, you see the word pestilence, and you see, we think of pestilence, we think of the 10 plagues that they had, and when God was bringing the nation of Israel out of Judah. See, Habakkuk was thinking about God coming to Mount Sinai where the law was given to Moses. As we remember the story, that there was a fire and a smoke and the earth trembled, the whole earth shook as God came. And when Habakkuk thought about the majesty of God, he was overwhelmed. There is none like God. There is, you think about what it says in Isaiah. Remember the former things of old. And Isaiah is saying, look, go back and remember the former things of old. This is a great admonition for us. This is what Habakkuk's doing. The rest of the verse is in Isaiah 46:9. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none else like me. And we have a place of safety. We have a place of refuge. We have a place where there's a shelter, and no one can harm us except for God. Allow it to happen. We serve a majestic God, and we see that His earth is full of His glory. And this is what Habakkuk's remembering. He says, remember the things of old. Go back and let's remember the things God did. And let's look back and ponder the different circumstances and how we've seen God work through our lives. And if we can't remember it, like Habakkuk could not see in his day, could not see in his age, let's go back to when we saw what God did with Abraham or what God did with Moses, how he brought the children of Israel out of the nation of Egypt. And how he parted the Red Sea, and how he gave him victory after victory after victory over those that were in the land of Canaan. No, no, no. We serve a God that is majestic. And Habakkuk said, when I remembered that, you know what? Then I realized who I was and who he was. You think about his might. Not only remember his majesty, remember his might. He's contemplating here, and I think inside this, he stood and measured the earth. Who can do that? Only God can. I mean, we serve a mighty God. There is no one else. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. And then he continues to just referring to these different things that just show forth the might of God. You see how the Lord took care of the Red Sea. He took care of the rivers Jordan. He's thinking about the might of God. He's thinking about how God is almighty. He's thinking about how God can measure these things. Habakkuk knew this. He just had to be reminded of this. Let's just read through these again. And he said, verse 7, I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea? And I think his reference is there to the rivers and the seas that he pulled back so they could go across, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation. Thy bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the waters passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his bands on high. The sun and the moon stood still. Remember that story when Joshua had asked for that, and God in his power and his might was able to give that to him. Who can do that but just God? He marches through the Red Sea. We see this. The sun and moon stand still. You see the indignation. Look what it says in verse number 12. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. You think about the different times God helped him over and over and over. We think about the battle of Jericho, and we think about the other times when they should not have won, but God gave them the power and mercy to be able to do that. When Habakkuk thought about all these things, he says, look, my body trembles, my lips quiver, when I finally understand who you really are. And the last thing, I want only is to remember his majesty and his might. Look at his mercy here. It says in verse number 13, thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation with thine anointed. You know, some people say that these are futuristic promises that they're talking about. Not just the nation of Israel's salvation back then, but the anointed there talking about Jesus Christ. All I know is that we serve a God that is merciful. Why does God do what he does? It's because he's merciful to us. Why did God have to take them back to captivity? Because God was demonstrating his mercy to them. He could have utterly wiped them out and be able to begin once again, but he had promises and he was a merciful God. See, our God is a God of mercy. You say, Pastor, it seems a little bit strange. You're talking about fearing him. You're talking about looking at his majesty and looking at his might. But how can we see his mercy? All we must do is go back and see where God has brought us from. And that's, we can say He is a merciful God. There is one true and living God, and I can fear the true living God. When I fear Him, that's when I trust Him. I trust because I tremble because of what I think of God and what God can do. When Jesus was on this earth, He healed the lame, He healed the blind, He did all these things to show us mercy and show us that He is a merciful God. That's what Habakkuk is saying here. I see Your majesty, I see Your might, but I see Your mercy in all this. Verse 14, Thou didst strike through Him with staves, the head of His villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. They rejoicing was to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with Thine horses, the heap of great waters. Why did God do all this? Because He loved them. He's being merciful to them. And why does God do things in our lives? I believe it's because He loves them. Now here's the main part, and here's what I like, what I thought was the coolest part. And if you don't get anything, get this. It says in verse 16, When I heard my belly, we hear our bellies all the time, don't we? My bad. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered. So when he went back and he got that fear of God, he understood God, he saw God, he remembered what God did at Jericho, he remembered what God did at Sinai, he remembered what God did at the Red Seas and the Jordan River, he remembered when God went through the land of Canaan and took over those giants they were afraid of fighting 40 years earlier. He remembers all that. And then he says, you know what? My belly trembled, my lips quivered. You ever been there? I mean, when you get at a moment and you're like, you can't do anything. You're in awe of something. Rottenness entered my bones. As I mentioned, the only thing I can think of that is that he was not able to stand any longer. He was in the presence of God in a sense, in his quiet time, in his quiet place. I trembled in myself. Now, this next phrase is my favorite part of the whole poem. That I may rest in the day of trouble. He said, I had to learn all this so that when the day of trouble comes, I'll have rest. And so if we make this application, if we interpret this and apply it to our own lives, we realize this is probably one of the greatest statements in all the Bible. He says, in the midst of all this trouble, while my nation is about to be destroyed, I found a place of rest. When everything wrong was happening, when all the bad things were going on, there was a place where I could find rest. That's in Jesus Christ for us. That's in knowing God, understanding God, and seeing God, and fearing God, and saying, God, I saw You were in control of the Red Sea. I saw You were in control of Sinai. I saw that You were in control when You told the sun and the moon to stand still. And now I know when my trouble comes, when my hardship comes, when my Chaldeans and my Babylonians come, when my life falls apart and gets in a mess, I can find a spot to rest. It's found in Jesus Christ, under His wings. Now, as we close, there's something I guess I want to bring to your attention. We need to trust Him. We need to learn to trust God. We can't change the Babylonians. We can't change the wicked desires of the world. We can't change all the things that may happen to our lives, but we can trust in God. But you go back there and you think about what happened at Mount Sinai. You know, the people there, they were amazed by God at the beginning. God takes Moses up and he's there for 40 days. And what happens? The people down low, they forget about God. They forget about who God is and they forget about the power of God. And it's not even that far away. It's still going on. It's still the presence of God there and they can even see it. But they're worshiping an idol just a little bit later. Why is that? They forgot Him. Think about it. God just sent the 10 plagues. God just took the Red Sea and parted it. And God just did all these things and brings them right to this mountain. And just less than 40 days later, they're down there worshiping. Why is that? They forgot who God was. You think about the story about the parting of the Red Sea. And they parted the Red Sea. And then what are they doing just days later? They're murmuring. They're wondering why God brought us out here to... I mean, they were being led by a cloud, led by a pillar of fire, but they're saying, we have nothing to eat, we have nothing to drink, we have nothing. And don't worry, I would be saying the same things, but there's a way to say it. There's a way of complaining and murmuring, not trusting in God. And then there's a way to say, Lord, I know you're in control. I'm going to count on you to take care of me. And we think about the battles at Jericho and the standing still. I know they're different things, excuse me, but the standing still of the sun, how God miraculously delivered them from their enemies. But what? Just a little while later, what are they doing? They're fearful. God destroys Jericho, gives them everything. And what happens just a little bit later on? You see them running with their tails tucked in between their legs from the city of Ai. Why is that? Somewhere, somehow, they forgot about God. Christian, I want to encourage you tonight. I know that our world sometimes falls apart. Sometimes people pass away. We don't want to. Sometimes people don't do what they should. Our family doesn't always do like we want them to do. But you can find a place of rest. He says, I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. He said, God allowed all this to happen. But in the end, I'm not going to try to tell God what to do. All I'm going to do is rest in Him. I'm going to trust in Him. Next week, we're going to see where it talks about no matter what happens, he's learned he's going to rejoice. He's learned he's going to be happy. God has taught him something here, and I hope he's taught us something here. And once again, you can go home and you can try to divide up all those different parts, and each of them have certain symbolic things that I'm sure you'll enjoy studying out and trying to get a good grasp and understanding of it. But you see, Habakkuk saw his majesty and was amazed. God, he saw his might and he was overwhelmed, and he saw his mercy, and that brought him to his knees. When he saw that it was a God who could, that was glorious, that deserved all praise and a might that he can do anything. But when he saw the fact that he did it for Habakkuk's sake, he said, I trembled. I quivered. So that when the day of trouble comes, I can have that rest. I've seen people walk through some very, very dark times in my life. I've seen sometimes people go through certain things that I don't know how they handled it. But they always told me it was God helped them through it. I could not have done that except for God. I think that's the truth. There's been even times in my life, I know you say, I'm probably one of the youngest people in the room. I know that. And you say, Pastor, what have you been through? What have you experienced? What have this? And look at all the things I'm going through. There's been some dark times in my life. I can honestly say that if I did not trust in the Lord, I would not know how to get through that day. If I didn't just look to him and say, God, I don't have any idea what you're trying to do here. And to be honest with you, I don't really like what I'm going through. But I'm just going to take it step by step. I'm going to trust in you. And I'm going to rest in the fact that you're in control. Rest, that is a wonderful word. And that's something we'll probably talk about another time. But he said not only could he be happy, He's saying that he can actually rest in the day of trouble. He didn't say he was going to be able to put up with it, deal with it. He didn't say, hey, I can handle it. I can just grit my way through it. He says, no. I'm going to rest in the day of trouble. I'm going to be able to say, God, you can handle this. I'm not going to try to figure it out myself. I'm not going to work myself to death trying to fix it. God, I'm resting in you today. This evening, let us remember who God is. That's what helped Habakkuk. If you think about it, in chapter number 1, he did something similar. In chapter number 1, he said, this is the God I know. Remember, he said, everlasting, O Lord my God. He said, we shall not die, O Lord. He did the same type of thing, but there's a difference here. Here, his perspective, he's trying to tell God what to do. Over here, he said, I don't have any right to tell you what to do. Let's rest in Him. Let's see Him for who He is. Let's fear Him. And let's have a holy fear of God. Remember, He does it for our mercy and our sakes. He loves us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.